It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Basketball, football, they have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You can get your winnings back in 2 hours. My favorite, the same game parlays. You can bet $5 or $10 and win $150 or more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get started now. Sign up promo code Colin so they know we and I sent you. The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by the FanDuel Sportsbook. All right. Welcome in, everybody, to the Monday Morning Podcast. Just got back from a trip from Italy. So if I sound a little off or I'm a zombie, it's the 13-hour flight. Buongiorno. I don't even know what time it is. And our game sevens were total absolute duds. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in Rick Bucher. I don't even know what to make of Phoenix. They look tight. Chris Paul ineffective. What do you even make of what you saw?
Well, I believe this game was lost 2 games ago. I honestly believe that when Devin Booker and Chris Paul, it was a little bit like the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade mocking Dirk Nowitzki. Everything was rolling for Phoenix, and they were going at Dirk one-on-one, and they were laughing at him. This is Luka Doncic, who is a European MVP, who has played in front of crowds with fireworks going off in the stands, with people taking their lighters and heating coins and then throwing them at you while you're playing, with a absolute mushroom cloud of cigarette smoke hovering over the arena, and crowds where I've experienced it. Like, you start finding anything to put in your ears, like paper or anything to try to dull the noise. So you take that, his experience, that there's no situation that's going to phase Luka Doncic. And then you basically clown him. You're asking for it. And you're asking for it from a Luka Doncic with a Jason Kidd who is also of the same mentality. If you insult him, he's going to find a way to make you pay. And he did with Luka, basically by saying, okay, Luka, you know what? Every opportunity you get, we're having you go at Chris Paul. We're going to have you go at Devin Booker. But you're going to have to bring us something to the defensive end. They clowned you because they were going at you one-on-one up 20, 25.
Right.
You've got to give me something the entire way. And Luka responded. The Dallas Mavericks collectively responded. And the Phoenix Suns basically were the bully, and they got punched back, and they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I still can't get over the lack of offense. I mean, Booker, you know, it's interesting with Devin. I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. He doesn't create a shot really very well. I mean, Devin needs a screen. Devin needs help. You know, people make these comparisons. Luka doesn't need help.
He doesn't need anything.
Ja Morant doesn't need help. Steph Curry doesn't need help. Booker's not super twitchy quick. He needs something. And it was really apparent in the first half in game 7. Devin just couldn't even get good looks, fallaways. Yeah. It was, he smiled as I said that, but he doesn't really create his own shot.
He's a great shooter. I don't know that he's a... Well, I don't want to say he's not a great scorer, but what they did is they made him play in a crowd where he had to make decisions. And ideally, what he would have done is drawn that crowd and created for others. He doesn't have that at all. So, and it was uncomfortable for him. I mean, you could literally see he started thinking, and as soon as he's thinking, game over. Chris Paul is the one that, if you try to double him, he's going to kill you because he can distribute. He can fight. He can get other guys involved. I thought it was brilliant on Jason Kidd's part to say, we're going to make Devin Booker be a playmaker. We're not going to let him be a scorer. We're going to make him be a playmaker. And Devin doesn't have that in his game. I mean, face it, it's basically taking the Suns back to what they were before Chris Paul showed up, because Chris Paul is the one who became the orchestrator of everything. And for whatever reason, Chris Paul, you know, whether it's fatigue, whether it's age, whatever,
with Chris's age, it feels like Phoenix is athletic, but they need another scorer. You can't bring this team back. It feels like they have to add a piece offensively. Do they have to move somebody?
Yeah, I don't want to overreact, because I also believe that this was just a really bad matchup for them. Luka, like, they don't have, like, this next series with Memphis, I mean, excuse me, with the Warriors in Dallas is going to be really interesting, because Draymond Green is the kind of defender you want to put on Luka Doncic.
Right.
He can play a bigger guy. He's clever. He knows how to play angles. I'll be very interested to see how that matchup goes. The Suns just don't have that kind of guy. Mikal Bridges, for as good a defender as he is, Luka just can body him down.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton is not quick enough to stay in front of him. Chris Paul is not big enough.
Right.
Like, it's just they didn't have that one guy, and they lit the fire under Luka. I mean, again, I will go back to it. Like, they were going along, and Luka was playing at a certain level, and then they just said they mocked him, and he was like, oh no, you're not doing that. And he took him apart.
You know, Luka has, I mean, when you think of the greatest last 20, 25 years, the great scorers, Michael, Kobe, Kevin Durant, LeBron could be, but I don't think him as your, he's a little atypical for a scorer because he's such a great distributor. None of them shoot like Luka, and his body, he's so thick. He's not going to have Durant's injury issues. Mm-hmm. I said this about a year ago. I could see him being the all-time leading scorer in the NBA by the time he's like 33 years old. I mean, he is just the best scorer on the planet. I'm not even sure. There's nothing quite like him. I mean, it's interesting. Here's my only concern. he's not quick in his scoring. So right. he needs to body you. And God, that can wear you out over a career because, you know, he doesn't fly past anybody. So right. every move, Rick, is a lot of work. Herky yep. jerky banging.
Yeah. Well, there's a trade-off, though. I mean, you're right. But he scores efficiently. Like he can bang you to the mid range and then step back and hit a shot. He can score in so many different ways. So there's a trade off there. The problem that the Mavericks have, the bigger problem as I see, is your point about he can't score fast. Like he generally is not going to get up and down. If they're, you know, they shot the three ball well, but if they have to play from behind, they're a different team. They can't score in bunches because that's not him at his best. And I felt sort of the same. And by the way, I'm in the same condition as you are. I took a red eye to the East Coast on Friday night for Saturday, and I'm still recovering from that. So I know the feeling. But no, Doncic is again, so much of the playoffs is matchups.
And yeah.
This was not. Ultimately ended up not being a good matchup for the Phoenix Suns. I dare say that if they had gotten somehow managed to get past Dallas, like I would have liked them against the Phoenix Suns. I think it would have been, the Golden State Warriors would have been a completely different setup. Now I'm really curious to see whether the Dallas Mavericks can replicate this.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are a tough matchup because Wiggins is now the league's best four. Clay, I mean, they're really an intriguing team. On nights where Poole's playing well, it's Steph, yep. it's Poole, yep. It's Clay, it's Wiggins, and they also, they're so small, but the league's getting small. I mean, let's be honest about it. The league's getting really small.
Doncic is playing five. Giannis is playing five. That you have point centers now, essentially.
I think Golden State's a handful. First of all, Spencer Dinwiddie was on fire. Yep. With Spencer, I feel like Spencer's the kind of guy, you get about two games like that a series. You know what I mean? And that's not a knock on him, but he's a B.
Sure.
And the A's, Luka gives you that game six games. Yep. So I think Golden State... You know them better than I do, but I think they're a... I also think you could throw Draymond at him. You could throw Kuminga at him. You could throw... You know what I mean? Like, you could just throw more bodies than feet because Kuminga's 6'7", 220. You wouldn't put him on for a long stretch, but between right. Draymond and him,
right.
it's a tough matchup. And I think Luka could have an off game or two.
Yeah. I don't have an answer because you're right. Kuminga, Andrew Wiggins... Draymond Green, you could rotate those guys on to Doncic, and you're going to give him a tougher challenge than the Phoenix Suns were able to do with Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges. And
none of those guys work. None of them fit.
Jay Crowder. None of those guys can bother Doncic once he figures you out. But there's also Jalen Brunson. You know, they have other playmakers, and I have to kind of sit back and think about who I like going into this series because the Warriors are not the Warriors of old. Klay Thompson had a great game six, but for the most part, he's not Klay Thompson anymore.
Yeah.
Steph Curry. I was watching that game with a couple of buddies and they were like, what's wrong with Steph? And I was like, he's lost like a quarter step. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't get the same airspace on his three. And he doesn't get to the rim to be able to finish in the same way. It's just he was always working with a very small margin and maximizing it. And now the margin has shrunk even more.
Yeah.
So you have to have Jordan Poole going. You have to have Clay giving you some semblance. Draymond Green has to be good. Like and Wiggins has to be efficient. And you're talking about guys in Wiggins and Poole who just have never been on this. They've never been on the stage before.
That's right.
So they're kind of figuring it out. So I don't have an answer for you yet on exactly what kind of series we're going to get. I just, I, I hope we get a long one because it's going to be intriguing.
Yeah, I don't think we have a great team in the West, and I don't think we have one in the East because we have Miami and Boston now, and I think I like Boston in seven. Yeah. But I want to go to Milwaukee. I've always kind of felt with Milwaukee, I said this last year, is I think they could win three titles in 6 years. They feel like the Spurs. I was reading Jeff Perlman's book when I was in Italy, Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, and Phil. And the amount of chaos, animosity, angst for all those years. And yet they won three straight. And if Karl Malone's healthy, they maybe win four straight. Because they were so gifted. Like the Warriors with Durant. They were so gifted. Mm-hmm. Look at all the chaos with Jordan's Bulls, Jerry Krause, Phil Rodman. The truly great teams know they're great. There's lots of egos. But they just out-talent you. Milwaukee's like San Antonio. They can't win three straight. They're not that gifted. They've got to have all the guys healthy. They need a break. And I looked at it, and as I watched that Boston series, I thought they're just not good enough without Chris Middleton to end up in the finals. I mean, in the last 6 years, I could be wrong on this, but I think they've been eliminated four times in either the first or the second round because things didn't work out. They made a conference finals and lost, and then they made the finals and won. Right. But I look at Milwaukee and I'm like, listen, they're going to win another championship probably.
Yep.
But all of our champions are not equal. There's the Dirk Mavericks. And I kind of feel like this is a poor man's Spurs where you've got a dominant big, a strong culture, a couple other really nice players, you know, Manu Tony, it's Drew, it's Middleton, nice players. But they're not special without middle. You take one of them out and they're a team. They're just a team.
Well, it's the challenge too. And you know, fans hate to hear this, but you're in Milwaukee, you're in San Antonio. That's like, it's, you know, you're not going to get Gary Payton and Karl Malone and guys who will join the Lakers to make a run, Horace Grant, like there, that's not happening for the most part in Milwaukee or San Antonio. You're just going to get good guys who are at the end of their career. The David Wests are going to go there and say, hey, I don't have a ring yet, and I can spend a year in Milwaukee or San Antonio trying to win one. I think Giannis is going to win a couple more championships.
Yep.
And it's going and I think he can be better. What we saw against the Celtics is that he reverted a little bit as soon as the mid-range jumper wasn't working. And he couldn't score efficiently in the mid post. At a slower pace. And they desperately needed that with that Chris Middleton. That's ultimately what they missed, is that Chris Middleton would give you some of that. And then they need to get more athletic. Like Pat Connaughton, Grayson Allen, like all those guys got exposed.
Grayson Allen was terrified on the court.
Yes. He was, he's Duncan Robinson, basically. Like, great regular season. We're going to get you threes. You can hit them. And now we get it where, oh, they're targeting you at the defensive end and they're not going to let you have a wide open three. You're going to have to put the ball on the floor. Now what can you do? And that just, a guy unravels. So they definitely have some work to do, have to do on this roster. And now I'll be interested to see where this Boston Celtics team goes, because I think there is such a value in winning a championship and understanding what it takes. That's what kind of surprised me with how Milwaukee unraveled as this series went on.
Yeah.
Like a lot of their, they were self-inflicted wounds. Like they were getting behind early and turning the ball over and missing open threes when they needed one. Like that, when you won a championship, that's not supposed to happen. Bobby Portis, you're not supposed to go off the rails.
Oh, God.
In Game 7. And he was
liability.
Now if you ever wondered, God, Bobby's he's a really nice player. Why has he bounced around the way that he has?
Yeah.
Now you know. You get to find out. When the pressure's raised, then you find out what the true character of guys are. And he lost it.
The playoffs are here. You can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. FanDuel's hooking you up free bets through the playoffs. Free bets. Doesn't matter if you're a new customer or already have an account. Be sure to check out the app. Exclusive weekly same game parlay promos. FanDuel's got so many ways to play. Best of all, when you win, you get paid faster than a fast break. If you're new to FanDuel, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with the promo code Colin. If you already have an account, you're all set to get in on the action. Either way, you'll get an assist from FanDuel when you bet a same game parlay during the playoffs. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 1970s NBA had a ton of parody, and it was not very well watched. Now, my Sonics won a championship, the Blazers did. So as a kid from the Pacific Northwest, it was a great time. I think the Sixers won one. Warriors may have won one. The Barry.
Talking about like mid to late 70s.
Yeah, with the Al Addles, Rick Barry, Jeff
Mullins. The Bullets
Mullins,
won one, I think, in there.
Kevin Greavy and the Bullets and Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld.
Wes Unseld.
Yeah, so and in that time, there were a lot of memorable players, but no great teams. And I kind of felt watching yesterday, I'm like, these are really good teams. Boston's a great example of really well coached, know what they are. There's a certain way they've got to play. They can discombobulate a little bit. If Tatum's not hitting, it can get really ugly really fast. Mm-hmm. I do think, I've been saying this all year on Miami. I don't get it. They don't have a closer. And then, you know, Butler played, you know, they played some dysfunctional Sixer team here that kind of unraveled. I think I like Boston over Miami because of Tatum, but I say it with so little conviction. I mean, what do you make of Miami? Good bench, great coach, athletic, deep.
I think they get the most out of what they have on a nightly basis, more so than anybody else, which is why they have the regular season record. They had the regular season record that they did. And then they played a Philadelphia team that, honestly, the 76ers would have been better if James Harden just didn't go to the defensive end of the floor, because you assume that he's going to guard somebody, or he's going to rotate, or he's going to do something. You assume like he's there, he's going to do something, and he wouldn't. And so you combine that with the fact that he wasn't scoring. And so now if you have him on the floor, you're thinking, oh, he's going to score, but he's not going to defend. So we need to have Matisse Thybulle out there.
Right.
We need to have defensive players out there. They can't score. And if Harden's not scoring, now it's an avalanche.
It's an avalanche.
And I think Miami was able to – look, I wasn't impressed with Miami in the way they beat them. They just outlasted them.
Yes.
In a lot of those games. Not like – took control of the game, and it was for three quarters. You were like, if Philly could just hang in, they could win, and they couldn't sustain it.
You know, Rick, I was thinking about this. In fact, I was thinking about this in Italy when I, because I was watching highlights, and I thought, you know, Daryl Morey probably made a promise to James Harden on a contract extension, right?
Yep.
But I don't believe you can find any of the last five champions, and I could be wrong, I'm just going off memory, that had a terrible contract. It's almost a deal killer. Champions rarely have an absolutely egregiously bad contract. There's a lot of things champions don't have. Not all are great defensively. Not all have three reliable scorers. Not all have a great coach. Is Budenholzer a great coach? None have a time bomb contract. And if you give Harden that, it's over. You're just limited. And I thought to myself, because of the way he laid an egg, the media and fans, if you break that promise, have no problem at all with it.
They don't.
And the owner could step in and go, we're not signing him, and Maury's off the hook.
They could.
That was my takeaway. I thought to myself, it was so bad that Maury will curry favor with the fans and the media in Philly. And you know, sports radio in Philadelphia carries weight. And it was so bad the owner can step in and say, we're not doing it. Maury can just go, hey, what can I do? I tried.
He could. He could. However, the agent and the players, superstar players, will know that Harden was promised and that they backed out of it. And how that plays going forward with other star players. They don't look at it as Harden didn't live up to his contract. They will look at it strictly as, no, he came over, you promised him a deal, and you broke it.
But players are also savvy. They know Harden's a dog. Secondly, because of the emergence of Maxey and the talent of Embiid, you don't really need another star for the next 3 or 4 years, and people forget. I mean, Maxey, Tobias, Embiid, and you get another good player, you don't need a star for 3 years.
Okay, but here's the question, and I haven't looked closely enough at their books, but you're gonna have Harden for at least one more year. The very least, he's going to opt into his 47, where I think the promise was, which almost makes it worse. Promise was you opt into the 47 and we'll take care of you afterward. Don't make us load up on you now.
Like, I'd rather load up for one and move him.
Yeah, well, that's not, I mean, okay. So, well, however that goes, but here's the problem. So you sign him for one for, you know, he opts in, right? You have him for a year.
Yeah.
Right? How are you going to move him? Like, you're going to have to trade him. You're going to have to do a sign and trade. If you just let him walk, I don't think they're going to have cap room to just go and sign somebody. So that's where, when you say because I don't think Tyrese, Matisse, Tobias, and Embiid makes you a title contender.
Maybe you
have more faith. I don't know how much better Tyrese Maxey is going to get. I think he's very good. I don't think he reaches like...
Is he 23 a game good?
Oof.
So because Embiid's 29, he's 23.
Well, but it's when you get your 23. Because I need him to be the guy at the end. Because I can't always count that I can, in a last second situation, I can't count that I can get the ball into Embiid's hands fast enough in a place where he can operate.
I just think, I think the time bomb contract is a deal breaker for championships.
Well, I agree with you there. I believe that if you are the Philadelphia 76ers, while you would never say it, you're not looking at this strictly through the prism of winning a championship is the definition of success. If I'm a team that is always in the mix for the next 3, 4, 5 years, that's successful.
Oof.
That's the reality. But it's the reality because of it's also the reality of with Embiid, because of his health, here's the other thing. Like, he stayed healthy, and I give him all the credit in the world for playing with an orbital fracture and tearing his ligament in his thumb and all that. But this happens every year, and he's in the prime of his career. So even when he's in shape and he doesn't have a major injury that costs him a season, he breaks down physically somehow, some way. And I just feel like, you know, somebody asked me the other day, like, do you blow it up? Do you just like, you need to start over? I mean, the other part is you're going to have Doc there for, he's got 3 more years on his deal. I don't know that Doc is taking you to another championship. So while I would never advertise it, I look at this Philadelphia team as, I just want to be competitive. And if somebody falls down, if somebody has an injury, maybe we sneak through.
That's a hard sell in Philadelphia.
But I don't feel like they're one piece away. I really don't feel like they're one piece away. There's so many flaws to them, whether it's coaching or your star player being fragile or the James Harden question. Like, it just, I don't know. And I don't know that Embiid as my star player and his demeanor and the way he wah, wah, when he didn't win MVP, like, that can't be my emotional leader. Giannis can be my emotional leader. Steph Draymond can be my emotional leader. Chris Paul can be my emotional leader. A guy who says, you guys just vote who you want to vote for. And I don't know if I'll ever win. Like, dude, move on. Yeah. You didn't win MVP. Okay. But you took a nice step forward. You got plenty of people saying that you should have won MVP and you should be looking at how do I win a championship anyway? So what are we doing here?
All right, I'm going to go Warriors in 6 over Dallas, Boston in 7 over Miami. Any problem with either?
No, but, you know, Colin, I always say this. When somebody says I'm going to take them in 7, you're really not saying anything. Like, take them in 6. If you think Boston's a better team, take them in 6. Nobody's going to fault you if they win in 7.
That's true. I'll take the Celtics Warriors in 6. By the way, you've been to Italy because you've traveled. You're a soccer guy, yeah. So you've traveled abroad a great deal.
Yeah,
I could honestly. I usually do a 10-minute opening rant before I do these, but I'm dealing on. You know, I'm literally it's 3 in the morning right now. I could live in Italy for long stretches.
Oh yeah, where did you go?
I went to Florence, Siena, okay. Chianti. Rome.
Okay. I can do without Rome. Tuscany, Florence. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah, my wife didn't like Rome as much either. She liked Florence and Siena, and she likes Tuscany. She could, and I'm like, I need some juice. Rome's got a lot of juice. Oh, I like Rome a lot.
Yeah, I can already see it. There's going to be a cowherd villa in Tuscany. It's coming.
I will say this.
Herdburgers are not going to make it in Tuscany, though. I'll tell you right now.
The cost of living. We had lunch one day. Both had a glass of wine, water, bottle of water, nice lunches, espressos, $24. They don't tip over there. Yeah. $24, yeah. You don't tip. I was just like, everybody wants to move, you know, to Americans are moving to Costa Rica. And I'm like, yeah, I'd get sick of the surf. I know you like to surf. I'm like, we paid $60 for dinner every night and we were just gorging ourselves.
Oh, and it is fabulous food, man.
Oh.
Yeah. My son's graduated from high school. He and two buddies are going to Italy, flying to Milan. Going to Florence.
Now, do you like Milan? I haven't been there.
It's a fashion. It's the fashion capital. I haven't been there. Give me Tuscany. Give me the Isle of Capri. Like, give me the south, southern Italy. But no, you picked it. You did it right.
And by the way, we went in May. So there's no tourism, the Russians aren't visiting because of their situation. So, for whatever reason, I think it's the regulation still on COVID, perhaps. They said Russians and Asians were not ramped up for tourism. And so May is not a heavy month for Americans. So there was basically, it wasn't crowded. It was fantastic.
So what you're saying is that there was a place to park the cowherd yacht.
I'll tell you this, parking in Rome is so inept, they make fun of it.
Oh yeah. But did you drive?
No, we had tours, basically just hired individual tours. We did a Vespa tour, a food tour, a castle tour.
Did you do a Florence food tour?
We did a 3-hour Florence walking tour. We did a Rome food tour. Food in both was amazing. I strongly recommend the food tours.
In Florence, we went on a tour where every place that we went had to be in the family for at least 3 generations. And it was like gelato, the bakery, seafood.
Oh.
It was unbelievable. One of the greatest experiences. I took my kids, and one of the greatest experiences they've ever had.
All right, let's shut it down. Good 35 minutes, Rick. Celtics 6, Warriors 6. We're both exhausted. We'll talk soon, buddy.
The Volume.
make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.